This morning we're continuing in our study in the book of Romans. So, did God's people stumble and fall beyond recovery? Of course not. His purpose was to make His salvation available to the Gentiles and then the Jews. What would happen? They'd become jealous. And they'd want it for themselves. Now, if the Gentiles were enriched because the Jews turned down God's offer of salvation, think how much greater a blessing the world will share when the Jews finally accept it. I'm saying all of this especially for you Gentiles. God has appointed me as the apostle to the Gentiles, and I lay great stress on this. For I want to find a way to make the Jews what? Want what you have. And in that way, I might save some of them. You know, sometimes when you and I stray away from the Lord, He uses a very strange tool to draw us back to Him. You know what it is? Jealousy. It's not the kind of jealousy in the negative sense that you're thinking of, but in the sense that as I'm out there and I'm doing my own thing, and I wake up one morning and I realize this is not working out. I'm missing something in my life. And I look over there and I see you with that smile on your face, you know? And that love that's in your heart that you receive from the Lord. And I see the love that you receive from other believers and the encouragement. You know what happens? I want that for myself. I become jealous for that relationship that you have with the Lord. And I want it too. And so that jealousy draws me back into that relationship. And it's okay if the Lord uses jealousy. Watching what He does for others many times is a tool to draw me back in to a relationship. And He says here in the last days, the Lord is going to use jealousy to draw the nation of Israel into a relationship with Him. What jealousy? What you have right now. People come into this little church and the thing they always walk away with is what? The love. And they see that and they say, boy, you know, I want that. And that's what God is using right now with the nation of Israel. As they see your love for each other and your love for the Lord, they want that. And that's going to draw them into salvation. Verse 15. For since the Jews' rejection meant that God offered salvation to the rest of the world, how much more wonderful their acceptance will be. It'll be life for those who were dead. For if the first fruits are holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. Now Paul kind of fades back a little bit, and he's talking about the Old Testament book of Numbers that we're going to be in here next week. And in chapter 15, the Lord instructs His people to bring to Him the first fruits of everything that He gives, the first portion of whatever they have. And He said, if you do that, whatever's left over will be blessed. It'll be sanctified. And that promise, as He goes on there, He says that it's an irrevocable promise. It's a promise that He will never take away. And it doesn't just mean if I don't tithe, if I don't give to the Lord, that I'm not giving to Him. He goes on farther and He says something pretty startling. He says, you're stealing from me. And He clarifies that in Malachi chapter 3. But what He's talking about here is the first tenth of everything that a person makes, He says, that's mine. But He says, when you bring the first fruits to me, what happens to what's left over? I'll sanctify it. I'll bless it. Did you ever wonder sometimes when you bring home your check and it's already gone before you even cash it, what's going on? Felt like that many times. The Lord says, if you honor me first in all that you do, I'll stretch that and I'll make sure that it takes care of every need that you possibly have if you make me first in every area of your life. Verse 17. But some of the branches from Abraham's tree, some of the Jews have been broken off. And you Gentiles who were branches from a wild olive tree were grafted in. So now you also receive the blessing God has promised Abraham and his children, sharing in God's rich nourishment of his special olive tree. But you must be careful not to brag about being grafted in to replace the branches that were broken off. Who are the branches broken off? Yeah, that's right. Who's the ones grafted in? Thank you, Lord. He says, remember, you're just a branch. You're not the root. Well, Lord, I thought I was the whole tree. Right? Well, you may say, those branches were broken off to make room for me, right? Yes, but remember, those branches, the Jews, were broken off because what? They didn't believe the Lord. And you are there because you do believe. So don't think highly of yourself, but fear what could happen. So here, again, the Lord is using that same analogy of first fruits. And he's talking about Abraham, who was the first person to believe. And as a result of him being the first, the whole nation became blessed also. It doesn't mean that every Jew will be saved, but it does mean that his spirit will never leave them. They'll always have the opportunity to come back, just as you always have that opportunity also. But as a nation, the Lord has not given up on them. All of his promises are going to be fulfilled in your life and in their life. Verse 21. For if God did not spare the branches he put there in the first place, he won't spare you either. Notice how God is both kind and severe. He's severe to those who disobeyed, but he's kind to you as you continue to trust in his kindness. But if you stop trusting him, what happens? You can be cut off. And if the Jews turn from their unbelief, God will graft them back into the tree again. He has the power to do it. For if God was willing to take you, who were by nature branches from a wild olive tree, and graft you into his own good tree, a very unusual thing to do, he will be far more eager to graft the Jews back into the tree where they belong. Now, this is something that you can do on your own. There's a study about branches and trees in the Old Testament. I'll just tell you, that, first of all, that the vine in the Old Testament is always talking about the spiritual blessings of Israel, up to the time when Jesus came. The fig tree speaks of the privileges of Israel as a nation, from Jesus' crucifixion up to the present time. Whenever you see that phrase there, the olive tree, it talks about the relationship that Israel will have with the Lord in the thousand-year reign that Christ is going to bring very soon. Now for us, let's apply this to us today. The Holy Spirit also uses the tree and the vine when it speaks about our need to stay close to Jesus. He said that we need to abide in him. Notice in verse 22, God's kind and severe. He's severe if we disobey, but he's kind if you continue to trust him. So, as the Gentiles were grafted in, but how did God do that? How did he graft us in? What was the basis for that? Grace, mercy, right? So you and I should never be puffed up and say, you know what? I'm looking down at the Jewish people. They blew it, man. They lost it. God's finished with them. Because you know what can happen to us? What happens if I blow it? Pretty scary. If I go back and remain in that old life that I used to live, after I've come to know Jesus, what might he do? Cut me off. Cut the branch off and cast it, Jesus said, into the pile and it's burned. Now, I'm not talking about those moments when you fall into sin, when you blow it, you make a mistake, and you come back to the Lord and you are restored to him. He's talking about those moments when you get into a lifestyle of sin and you remain there. He's encouraging us not to go there. In John 15, Jesus said, "Remain in me and I'll remain in you, because a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine." You see that? Verse 6, anyone who parts from me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. So what's the key there? Stay attached, right? Make sure that you abide in the Lord. How do I do that? Stay in church. Stay in the Word. Keep communicating with the Lord. Verse 25. He says, I want you to understand this mystery. Anytime Paul says a mystery, if you're a prophecy student, that should perk your ears up. Oh, that means something that's been hidden in the past that God is revealing now. He says, I want you to understand this mystery, brothers and sisters, so that you will not feel proud and start bragging. But some of the Jews have hard hearts, but this will last only until the complete number of the Gentiles come to Christ. And then all Israel will be saved. Do you remember what the prophet said about this? A deliverer will come from Jerusalem, and he'll turn Israel from all ungodliness. And then I'll keep my covenant with them, and I'll take away their sins. So, from a prophetic point of view, okay, speaking of the times that we live in last now, the last days, that spiritual blindness that Israel has right now, how long does that say it's going to last? Until the last person receives Jesus as Lord and Savior. Till the fullness of all the Gentiles come in. When is that? How are we going to know when the last Christian has been saved? The rapture. Very good. All right, Marcy. Yeah, when the rapture comes, we'll go, oh, the last person just got saved, and the Lord's not going to wait another moment. The Lord knows right now, sitting somewhere, about to make that decision for the Lord. They're sitting there. He knows when that final decision is made, and then he's going to turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, it's time. Go get your bride. And that's where you're going to hear your name, and you're going to meet the Lord in the air. Now, it's not going to be till the tribulation period that all of Israel is saved. They won't believe in Jesus until after you and I are already gone. In Luke 21, it says, Jerusalem will be conquered and trampled down by the Gentiles until what? The time of the Gentiles is fulfilled, comes to an end. Did you know that the scholars believe has been fulfilled? In 1967, after 2,000 years, the capital city of Israel, Jerusalem, was taken back again as a possession for the Jewish people. And people that are of scholarly background, they believe that that is the moment when that prophecy that Jesus gave in Luke 21 was fulfilled. And it told us one amazing thing. We're in the 11th hour before the clock strikes midnight and the Lord returns. That forever, 33 years ago, was a signal to us that the Lord is about to come because the times of the Gentiles treading on the streets of Jerusalem ended. Verse 28. And many of the Jews are now enemies of the good news. But he says, this has happened to your benefit. For God has given gifts to you Gentiles. And the Jews are still his chosen people because of his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For God's gifts and his call, check it out, they can never be withdrawn. That calling that God's got on your life right now, the gifts that he's given to you, he's never going to knock on your door someday and say, Barry, I'd like to have that gift back now. The Lord never takes it back. This morning, if you've been falling away from the Lord, either in your heart or your mind or struggling, if you've been suffering doubts, if you've wondered if you're still His, verse 29 is your answer. His love, His promise, His calling is irrevocable. When He gives it, He never takes it back. Verse 30. Once you Gentiles were rebels. You were rebels against God. But when the Jews refused his mercy, God was merciful to you instead. And now in the same way, the Jews are rebels and God's mercy has come to you. But someday, they too will share in God's mercy. For God has imprisoned all people in their disobedience so he could have mercy on everyone. You know what that means? Every person that's ever been born on this planet is guilty. Guilty of failing to keep the law of God. Remember what we learned before? If I broke just one of the commandments, what does it mean? I'm guilty of breaking the whole thing. The standard is perfection. And that's why Jesus came. He saw us, how helpless we were to be restored, to be redeemed, to be saved. He saw us trying but failing, and he came and did it all for us. His life was perfect, and so he was able to offer it in exchange for ours. Jesus went to hell, and then he ascended, and you will never have to see hell. You will ascend directly into the presence of the Lord because of what he's done. Verse 33, "Oh, what a wonderful God we have! How great are his riches, his wisdom and knowledge, how impossible it is for us to what? Understand his decisions and his methods." It's hard to figure the Lord out, isn't it? You ever tried? Lord, why did you do that? Lord, why are you doing this? J.B. Phillips once said, "If God was small enough for you to figure out, he wouldn't be big enough for you to worship." Amen? There's things that have happened in your life that you're never going to figure out. I know you've tried to, because I've tried to figure out why things have happened to me. Things that God have brought into your life that don't seem to make sense as coming from a God of love. But when I don't understand what's going on, that's not the time to stop trusting him. Amen? That's the time to go back and reinforce what I already know. To look how much he loves me, what he's already done, what it's cost him to get me this far, and say, "Lord, I don't understand it, but I worship you and I trust you." And I'll file that in a place to be revealed at a later date. And based upon that overwhelming fact, I press on, never giving up, never retreating, and never once regretting my trust in him. Because why? Someday, even all the unanswered questions, he's going to answer for you. Verse 34, "For who can know what the Lord is thinking?" Anybody know? I don't have a clue. Who knows enough to be his counselor? Lord, today I'd like to instruct you on a few things. Please. "And who could ever give him so much that he'd have to pay me back?" Lord, you owe me, right? Sad. "For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. To him be glory evermore. Amen." You know, in 1904, William Borden was the heir to the Borden Dairy Estate. He just graduated from high school, and guess what? He was already a millionaire. True story. His parents gave him a trip around the world. What a spoiled brat, huh? And he traveled through Asia, the Middle East, and Europe. And it really gave him a burden as he saw how people were suffering because they were without the Lord. He wrote home and he said, "I'm going to give my life to serve Jesus for the rest of my life. I'm going into the mission field." When he made that decision, he wrote in the back of his Bible two words: "No reservations." He turned down a high-paying job after graduating from Yale University, and he wrote two more words in the back of his Bible: "No retreating." No going back. Completing studies at Princeton Seminary, Borden sailed for China to work with the Muslims. He decided he'd stop off in Egypt for some preparation. While he was there, he was stricken with cerebral meningitis, and he died in 1 month. Did he make a big mistake? A waste of time? Not in God's plan? In his Bible, underneath the words "no reservations" and "no retreats," he wrote the words "no regrets." Paul said that now we see things imperfectly as in a poor mirror. But then on that day when you stand face to face with Jesus, you will see with perfect clarity. Everything that you know now is partial and incomplete. But then you will know everything completely. Get this. Just as God knows you. What an awesome comfort. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning that there's no place that we can go to flee from your Spirit. Lord, thank you for reassuring us this morning that when things happen in our life and we're drawn away from you, Lord, that you never leave us. And Lord, help us to realize that when we can't figure things out, we don't understand them, that Lord, we need to go back and retrace the foundation where we've come from. We need to remember how much it is you love us and what you've already done, that we have a history with you, and that because you left heaven, gave up everything to come to this little planet to give your life for me. Lord, I can trust you in this thing, even though I don't understand what's going on. And that someday, I'll know everything completely. Just as you know me, Lord. What an awesome day. So, Lord, help us just to turn it all over to you. Right now, Jesus, that thing that we've been struggling with, it's maybe happened 14, 15, 16 years ago, 20 years ago, 40 years ago. We don't understand it, Lord, and it's been kind of a stumbling block. Lord, we confess to you that we've doubted because of that thing. And Lord, maybe we didn't have as close a relationship as we could have had if we could have dealt with that. Lord, we want you to deal with it right now. And we may never have the answer to it, but we know we can trust you. So Lord, we turn all these things over to you right now. Father, thank you for this precious body. Continue to guide them by your Spirit and to love them, Lord, with that love that is just irresistible. When we sin, Lord, forgive us. When we turn away, Lord, come after us. And Lord, as we are obedient and we trust you, Lord, fill us with joy. We thank you so much for this time today. In Jesus' name, amen.